Live from New York City, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. I'm broadcasting as well as video streaming live from our studios in New York City. You can watch today's show by going to GaryNull.com or ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. Today, the latest on vaccines that are supposed to help people, well, the chickenpox vaccine didn't seem to do the job, and I'll give you the latest on that. Then coconut oil. We know it's great for your skin, good for scrapes and cuts and bruises and burns, good if you have intestinal parasites or candida, good if you have too elevated cholesterol, good if you have viruses. Well, there's something else it does that is rather novel. I'll tell you about that. When I mentioned recently that I believe we should be using, especially those who have compromised immune systems, probably one-third of the American population, black cumin seed oil, people thought that's cumin. It isn't. It's two completely different genesis of plants. One comes from the Mediterranean, Eastern Mediterranean, and the other comes from Southeast Asia. I'll explain why black cumin oil is probably the single most important healing oil you can take into your system. Also today, finally, the tobacco companies are being told, admit you lied. And what were those lies? Let's remind ourselves. Because the very same people who spent 100 years lying to us, using the Journal of the American Medical Association to sanctify that the lies were okay, you should smoke because it eases the suffering of anxiety. It soothes your throat. No, it doesn't. It causes lung cancer and emphysema. Well, they have to own up to it now, and I'll give you the latest on that. Cell phones, can you become addicted? Seems so. Just like credit cards and compulsive buying, a new study out of Baylor University. Meditation, that I absolutely believe in, combined with art therapy. You've heard me mention several times, art and healing. Well, now, there's new science from mainstream science. Stress and Health, the journal, is published in Science Daily, and a major study. So I'm going to tell you what meditation combined with art therapy does. It's really exciting, good information. And then we'll talk about the omega-3s in depression. Now, that's the latest. And for those of you who are just tuning on, and we're yesterday, for example, we had over 6,000 brand new listeners. Young people mainly, interested in social issues principally, and environmental causes. I'd break the program into five segments. But when I talk about health and nutrition, just so that you can have some confidence that you will not be attacked by people who are ignorant about, oh, you're believing in that hocus-pocus quackery, there's no validity to that, show me the proof. We've heard all those arguments. So every single study that I use, I cite. And all my studies are from peer-reviewed literature, all from major institutions. Now, because I've done more than 23,000 broadcasts, the most in the history of America on health, past Carlton Fredrick's record long ago, I know that your doctor or maybe a family member doesn't want you making the kind of changes that could really liberate you. And we forget. This is just part of our nature, our conditioning. If everyone's going along to get along, and you're the one who suddenly stops and starts to question things. For example, you question, how are animals treated? What do you mean? Well, I just saw this special about the Iowa Fair. And Iowa is the pig capital of America. That's where more pigs are raised. North Carolina is right behind it, but that's where it's raised, and they have a fair where everything is pork. And thousands of pounds are eaten by people who love their pork. All right. Do they ever ask, what happened to this sport? Because what you see at a state fair, are you see beautifully groomed animals. You see them getting a lot of attention and love. What you don't see are all those that are factory farmed. Would we be as interested in eating chickens, veal, fish, lamb, and beef, venison, if we actually had to watch it in its captivity, its execution, and its preparing for becoming food? Can we even handle that emotionally? There is a video now up on my website. You can go to PRN, ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, or GaryNull.com and watch it. It's only 2 minutes long. It comes from Australia. Someone, very creative someone, I don't know who it was, but they start with a very popular song that we all have heard and enjoy, and then they have the pigs in this factory farm singing it. The animation is just perfect. But the pigs are not animated. Everything you see is real, real factory farming. The chickens, the animals. And by the end of this just two-minute piece, whoa, it just shatters this whole idea that somehow I don't have to think about where the food comes from that I eat. If we showed this little clip in every high school, in grade school, in kindergarten, what do you want to bet the kids would say no to eating that anymore? The majority would, because they have great compassion for animals. We're the ones who don't have compassions. More often than not, we don't even want to know. So I've decided to do a commentary today. The commentary is from Dr. Bruce Levine about behavior modification and an authoritarian society. Now, here's where I'm combining something I wrote last night on this topic and Dr. Levine's. I believe that about 95% of everything we do in a given day, everything we even think in a day, has already been placed on tapes in our conscious and subconscious and unconscious mind. And therefore, when we decide to be the person that breaks out, that steps outside of the existing paradigm, that challenges something, man, are we slammed. First, we're slammed with our own internal safeguards, attack dogs at the gates of consciousness. How dare you challenge your doctor? How dare you not be a Republican? You've always been a Democrat. You've always, had a turkey. You've always bought everybody things they didn't need, wouldn't like, wouldn't appreciate at Christmas. You always, and we go right down the list of all the things we do. You never thought about living out in Long Island or New Jersey on the shore. It was a pleasure. Decades, whole lifetimes, generations, never had a problem. A little flooding once in a while. Yeah. Well, why don't we move? Why do we want to rebuild? That's behavior modification. Well, why would someone not want us to move? Because if we all began to think independently of the existent authoritarian society's rules, we wouldn't be living near nuclear power plants. We wouldn't even have nuclear power plants. We wouldn't be living near bodies of water that are likely and almost certainly going to flood, where there's going to be earthquakes or Tornado Valley down in Oklahoma or in Arkansas. We wouldn't be hydrofracking, which also causes ruptures in the ground and causes earthquakes. We wouldn't be spending money we don't have, and we wouldn't be buying things we don't need. We wouldn't be eating junk food. We wouldn't be watching our kids get sick and die in front of us while we contributed to it. What do you think? Do you think there's anyone standing over a coffin of a kid that's died of adult diabetes at age 14 and say, did I have anything to do with this? Did my not saying no to the bad foods and demanding yes for the good foods? Did what the person watched on television, was I participating in my kid's own death? What parent could live with that? None. So what we do is we modify our behavior, our individual and collective behavior. That's why we're engaged in mass conditioning. Well, imagine what you're like when you step outside of the condition, when you're the people who are no longer going to be manipulated, when you're thinking on your own. I'm going to be a vegan. Why? I'm going to eat organic. That's stupid. When are you going to be one of those gay hippies out of, you know? No, I'm just a person. Don't stigmatize me because I want to be different. I want to eat what's natural and healthy that honors my body and amounts that I need. What's that say about us? Look at us. Look at you, skinny you, healthy you. Now look at us. We're fat. We're morbidly obese. Our kids are obese. Our babies are obese. We're sick. We're dying. Do you see us complaining? Do you see us rebelling? Do you see us protesting? Hell no, we're not. So you get your ass back in line here, fella. That's what I grew up with. That's how my family dealt with me. I had aunts and uncles didn't even want to speak to me because, not because I ever said anything impolite. I never did. Never, ever, ever. I grew up with manners. But it was the idea that my thoughts, what I was writing about, became an embarrassment to them. Because they sat around after a bad meal and smoked cigarettes and drank coffee with sugar and were all overweight and all sick. Nice people, but man, were they just an complete object lesson in behavior modification by authoritarian society, all of which they are in complete denial of. So if you become the person that has the truth on your side, then you better look at yourself as being a minority of one, unless you're able to connect with other people, and there are other people. But you got to get beyond this desire to go back into conditioning because it's so much comfortable being around people who don't think, who just react. So much easier to go along with people who are negative instead of positive. So much more comfortable jumping on someone who's down and kicking him in the head than offering a hand to help him up if everyone else is going to look at you. I'm going to deal with that today and ask you to call in. I'm also going to share the latest on environmental issues. So we have a lot to share. And then, of course, we have my guest. I'm not sure whether he's 89 or 90. But he's up there. Yuri Avnery, perhaps Israel's most prominent and vocal peace activist. He's an outspoken critic of Israel's militarism and treatment of Palestinians. And he, and along with all other enlightened individuals, understand the call something for what it is. You can defend it, but call it for what it is. It is. Some say it's a gulag. Others say it's apartheid. Others say it's the largest outside prison in the world. But surely there is something behind the occupation in Gaza that we are simply not aware of. Maybe he can enlighten us. So we're going to have him on today to share his point of view on this. We have a lot to go. Let's go. Needless to say, we are writing constantly important scientifically based articles rebutting the idea that all vaccines are safe and effective for any given individual. In fact, none have been proven safe or effective for a given individual. And if you doubt me, even those who are the most hard-headed, closed-minded, arrogant individuals on the subject, then I ask you to do this something simple. Go to your doctor, your nurse, your hospital, your pharmacist, and simply say, I'm happy to take your flu vaccine, any vaccine you want to give me, as many as you want to give me, as many as you feel I would benefit from. All I'm asking is this. Would you personally state in writing that if I become sick because of this vaccine or combination, or if I'm not protected because of this vaccine or combination, that you will be held personally liable? You'll pay the damages. If everyone is so confident that all vaccines are safe and effective, and if we've indemnified every single vaccine manufacturer, then we shouldn't have a problem with that individually. Then let's see if there's a single doctor, pharmacist, or nurse in America willing to jeopardize themselves and go into bankruptcy by continuing to participate in a myth. Here is the latest on this myth. Quote, Vigo County of Indiana is currently experiencing the country's largest outbreak of chickenpox, with 92 cases thus far. Out of the 92 cases, 89 were fully vaccinated. That means that this may be the nation's first case of a serious chickenpox outbreak among children who were actually vaccinated for chickenpox. Placed another call to the Indiana State Department of Health, was able to reach the epidemiologist working the chickenpox outbreak. There were the 89 cases that I stated. They're seeing fewer lesions in the fully vaccinated, zero deaths. But then again, they had no answer. How is it that 98% of the people fully vaccinated came down with the disease for which they were supposed to be protected? Well, that's just another one of those death by a thousand cuts in the argument. Now, if you have dry skin, many of you do this time of year, coconut oil at night before you go to bed, massage it in all over the body. It's really good for the skin. Take a little bit of coconut oil, maybe a half a teaspoon, and a half a teaspoon of Manuka honey, and mix the two together and swallow it down. That's great. Overnight, it'll help, A, keep your air passages from drying out, which creates a bacteria field day if they dry out, but it also kills bad bacteria and viruses in your throat, including staph and strep. Here's one more thing you can do for gum disease. You can take coconut oil. Quote, the Athlone Institute of Technology in Ireland tested the antibacterial action of coconut oil in its natural state, and the oils were tested against strains of Streptococcus bacteria, which are common inhabitants of the mouth. They found that the coconut oil strongly inhibited the growth of most strains of Streptococcus bacteria, including Streptococcus mutans, an acid-producing bacterium that is a major cause of tooth decay. Many previous studies have shown that partially digested foodstuffs are active against microorganisms, and early work on enzyme-modified foods showed the same. But this is up at the top of the list. So, coconut oil. Quote, dental caries is a commonly overlooked health problem affecting 90% of the children and the majority of adults in industrialized countries. This is according to Dr. Brady. Incorporating the enzyme-modified coconut oil into dental hygiene products would be an attractive alternative to chemical additives. Well, that's good news. Now, one of the most important things you can do for your immune system, and that I recommend for people that I counsel who have AIDS-defining illnesses or cancer, autoimmune conditions, is black cumin. Cumin, C-U-M-I-N, cumin oil. It, how I take it down is I simply swallow some water right after it. It doesn't have a strong taste, slight taste, not much. Now, why is this important? Because just look at the diet. Red meat, dairy products, fried foods, and sugary foods. That's the majority of the average American's diet. Now, let's say you're not an average American, so you try to eat more consciously. You have more fruits and vegetables and grains and beans and nuts and seeds and legumes, and maybe occasionally something that you know is not that good for you or prepared in a way like deep-fried tempura, vegetables, etc. All right. You're really creating an alkalizing, anti-inflammatory diet, and that's good for you. But if you're the average American, you're not. All your diet is bad to the bone. So along comes black cumin seed oil. Here's what it does. They took a group of 40 women diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, which, as we know, is a highly inflammatory disease. And they gave them an extract of 100% organic, non-GMO, cold-pressed black cumin seed oil. And it had incredible benefit. And here's what it says, quote, they were given placebo capsules daily for a month, followed by 500 milligrams twice a day of cold-pressed black cumin seed oil. The researchers measured the participants, and the disease activity score was called the DAS-28 score. And in arthritis patients, they found a substantial improvement in the group taking the black cumin seed oil. It also helps if you have nasal allergies. and if you have low T-cell immunity. An active component of the black cumin seed oil is called thymoquinine, and it boosts the survival and activity of other key cells in the immune response to infections or cancer, namely CD8 T-cells. And these cells are the field troops that actively hunt down and kill infected or cancer cells after activation by T helper macrophage. And it's known as conditioning. It amplifies the effectiveness of these vital immune cells. So, in effect, every time you have the black cumin seed oil, you're stimulating your immune system to fight on your behalf and increase natural killer cells. And, of course, natural killer cells are what eat up the tumor cells in the body. So you could help that tremendously. So that's good. And by the way, black cumin is from a family native to Southeast Asia, whereas cumin spice comes from the Apicea family and is native to the Eastern Mediterranean. So even though it's called black cumin seed oil, it's not cumin. And the tobacco companies finally have to acknowledge the following, that the harmful effects of smoking on health, that it kills 1,200 Americans every day on average, that more Americans die from smoking than alcohol, automobile crashes, drugs, suicide, AIDS, and murder combined, that smoking causes acute myeloid leukemia, emphysema, heart disease, and cancers, the pancreas, lung, mouth, esophagus, larynx, stomach, kidney, and bladder, that smoking makes humans less fertile, causes babies to be born with low birth weight, and is a known cause of cancer of the uterus and cervix, that the smoking and nicotine are highly addictive, that nicotine is an addictive drug in tobacco, that tobacco companies deliberately design their cigarettes with enough nicotine to make consumers addicted and keep them addicted, that giving up smoking is not easy, that when nicotine enters your body, it changes your brain, making it much harder to quit. That labeling cigarettes as low tar or light or ultralight or mild or natural has not been shown to provide any benefits. That a significant number of smokers, rather than quitting, switch to what they believe are safer and less harmful cigarettes. There are no such things as safer and less harmful cigarettes. And the tobacco companies deliberately manipulated their product design and composition to make nicotine deliver as effective as possible. This was all done with intent. Now, this is the newest rule that they're going to have to comply with. Now, here's why this is important, for a couple reasons. First, because the FDA and all of its top hierarchy knew for decades that everything I just told you was true. But instead of protecting the consumers, they protected the proprietary patents of the tobacco industry. That a lot of senators, including, gee whiz, Al Gore, his father, even their farm where he grew tobacco, were subsidized. So we, the American public, paid to have a product that kills 1,200 Americans every day, and that no one from the tobacco industry who actively conspired what today would be a RICO action, criminal behavior, which has caused millions of deaths, cumulatively, millions of deaths. Just do the math. Now, if you did 1,200 a day at times 365 days, you're already at 400,000 a year. And if you've done it for the last 40 years, let's say, yeah, then you're at 16 million. So when you create genocide, not a single person's been held accountable. Not one of the Jesse Helms or one of these Southern racist senators. We have been so abused and so manipulated and so lied to by everyone in Washington. And yet, now they have to tell the truth. But once again, we're not making any of them personally accountable. What does that say about we the people? I'm Gary Nall. One last thing, and that is meditation. Oh, by the way, on cell phones, I want to mention to you, according to the latest study down at Baylor University in Texas, quote, cell phone and instant messaging addictions are driven by materialism and impulsiveness. and can be compared to consumption pathologies like compulsive buying and credit card misuse. And that was published in the Journal of Behavioral Addiction. Quote, cell phones are a part of our consumer culture. They are not just a consumer tool, but are used as a status symbol. They're also eroding our personal relationships. We knew that. Finally, good news about meditation and art therapy. This comes from Science Daily, from the peer-reviewed journal Stress and Health. Quote, cancer and stress go hand in hand, and high stress levels can lead to poor health outcomes in cancer patients. The Jefferson Myrna Bryn Center of Integrated Medicine combined creative art therapy with a mindfulness-based stress reduction program for women with breast cancer and showed positive changes in brain activity associated with lower stress and anxiety after an 8-week program. Quote, our goal was to observe possible mechanisms for the observed psychosocial effects of this therapy by evaluating cerebral blood flow, changes in intervention patterns. So in lay language, what this is saying is that for those who have any form of serious medical condition, by meditating, mindful meditation, and art therapy, you do them together, you can substantially relieve your stress. That turns down the stress hormones, that helps your biochemistry. That is all good. That's all good. I'm Gary Knoll. Going to take a brief break and come right back. But we have other issues to deal with as well, including our TalkBack 7. Please stay with us.
Come on along and listen to A Lullaby of Broadway. The hip hooray and ballyhoo. Subway train, the rattle of the taxis, the daffodils who entertain at Angelo's and Maxie's when a Broadway baby says goodnight. It's early in the morning. Manhattan babies don't sleep tight until the dawn. Good night, baby. Good night. Milkman's on his way. Sleep tight.
Over the next 2 months, I'm going to be playing music from the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s of different types of music and different background. And mainly for those who have appreciated those tunes throughout their lifetimes, and for younger people who may not even recognize any of this music, to show you how you might compare the music you're enjoying today with the music that others have enjoyed throughout the last 60, 70 years. Just a few program announcements. If you want to see the 2-minute clip on the animal farms and how animals are treated, done in a very creative and sensitive way, then you can go to progressiveradionetwork.com and watch it. It's there. Also, I'm looking for people in the New York area who would like to come into the office this Saturday and be filmed on their experiences with juicing, specifically juicing. So if you've had some benefit from juicing, we'd like to know. I'm going to be filming it for a new documentary, a little piece of it, major documentary I'm doing. So if you want to give a number, I'm going to have you call our Jason here and 646-926-5428. 646-926-5458, 28. And about juicing. Also, I'm looking for a driver for Saturday because we're going up to Harlem. I'm going to film up in Harlem Saturday, mid-Saturday morning. Then the premiere. For all of our listeners on PFW in Washington, D.C., I've been told some of you are coming up for the premiere. Good for you. And when you come up, let me know who you are, because I'm going to treat some of the people to, I will treat anyone from PFW who comes up to a juice and to a homemade veggie burger. How's that? Before the screening. Just let the person, when you call to make a reservation, know. The number to call, and it's only 1 week away, it's next Thursday, 7 p.m., at a major, the largest movie theater on the Upper West Side, beautiful neighborhood. Just call 646-926-5422, 646-926-5422. And all net proceeds are going to go to, my goal is to feed 100 homeless vets for a month through the Daily Bread in Florida. And then my goal is to buy 100 sleeping bags for the vets who, and the other homeless people who are sleeping in the woods in northern Florida, who otherwise don't have any protection for the cold nights. So hopefully we'll do well enough to do that. And by the way, we're now taking names of people. If anyone who's called and is not going to come, please call and cancel, because we're full. But not to worry, there's always 10% of people who call and then don't come. So we're going to have we'll call, meaning you can pay at the door, but we'll also have probably another 10% of the people will cancel and we'll fit you in, but otherwise we're packed. For those of you who live on Long Island, and many of you do, the only other time I'm going to show this film, which is Seeds of Death, GMOs, will be Sunday, next Sunday, not this Sunday, Sunday week, December 9th at 2 p.m. at the Huntington Arts Cinema. And by the way, at both showings, I'm going to give a free $25 book, Living in the Moment, and I'm going to give a copy of the film, so it's a great benefit. And if you're a member of BAI, you get a special discount out there. Let me give you their number, 631-423-7611, 631-423-7611. And you can also online go to brownpaperticket.com, brownpaperticket.com. Those are the only two showings in the New York area. And I've done five premieres in the last 2 years at the Huntington Arts Cinema. Every single seat in their largest theater has been taken. It'll be a packed house. Look forward to seeing people out there at that time. If you're interested in being helped with your health issues, and also if you have behavioral problems, I have four people I've hired to help you for free. This is a public service. And for the health and nutrition and diet and guiding you, really good qualified staff, you can call 212-874-4000, 212-874-4000. And if you want to be helped by Nadia, she's a PhD in psychology, and she can counsel you. And her specializations are if you're depressed, anxious, have eating disorders, have relationship disorders, or problems, self-image problems, you can call her. She's at a different number. She's at 646-926-5422. And again, no charge. We got a new dance video. Thank you very much. I have gotten 27 people to send me their home movies that they made at dance parties. And they're at varying qualities. Some are better than others, and some are a little dark, but they all show the people coming and having a great time. And what my joy is watching them and seeing all the faces that I haven't seen in a long time, and people just all walks of all some of the wildest outfits. I mean, some of this stuff is so dated in the outfits and the hairdos, but it's fun. It was fun. It was when it was. And the latest one was just 2 years ago. So we got all kinds, and they're up there. And I'm going to get another one up later today. In fact, I'm getting two more up later today. And in some, I'm dancing. Lots of fun dancing. This is just like a Dirty Dancing thing. It was a hoot. I mean, and one of them I just saw this morning. It was so much fun. They were interviewing people, and they just did it on their own. Now, when I'm at these dances, for the probably 90% of the time, I'm signing books and answering questions. I only get to dance for a little bit of the time. So in one of them, I'm not dancing at all because I didn't. I signed book the whole time. The other one, I'm doing a little bit more dancing, but it's nice to see everyone dancing. So those films will be up on GaryNall.com today. Also, video bios are up there. This is just in case someone said, well, who's Gary Null? What's his background? Is he a nut job? Who is he? Well, let them watch these documentaries, and there's six of them that are video bios. investigative journalism and as an author, a broadcaster, so they get a little better background of who I am instead of listening to many of the nonsense that's otherwise out there. So if you have a movie or you have photographs of parties or things, send them. I'd like to post them. Always like to do that. Finally, we have a special for you today. Buy one muscle protein powder and get a second one free. This is the plant-based, non-GMO muscle protein. It's got the branched amino acids, the methionine, leucine, valine, isoleucine. Great for you. It's really good. And it's got no fat in it and no cholesterol. And it's only has 4 grams of sugar. It's got 26 grams of high-quality protein. It's the most popular protein powder I make. It's been around a long time. It's called Muscle, and it's on sale. And you get all these great nutrients in it. You get your 200 milligrams of magnesium and manganese and copper and zinc, and you get all these wonderful nutrients. Iron's in there, vitamin E, vitamin D, 3, all kinds of good things. So Muscle is on sale. Call the following number. It's got the wonderful French vanilla flavor and lecithin and cinnamon. Call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065 for the great tasting Muscle product. Branched amino acids, vitamins and minerals, great protein, good for you. Let's go to our issue of the day. I spent about 5 minutes giving you my overview on it earlier. I believe that we are substantially conditioned beings and that our liberation, our moment of reality comes when we're able to differentiate a conditioned response from a reasoned response. A reasoned response where we stand in this moment and we look at something as if we're not overly emotionally attached to it, where we can look objectively and fairly and honestly at an issue versus when we just react. Almost always that's coming from our conditioned mindset. This is what Bruce Levine has to say. He's a psychologist professor. Quote, "The corporatization of society requires a population that accepts control by authorities. And so when psychologists and psychiatrists began providing techniques that could control people, the corporatocracy embraced mental health professionals. In psychologist B.F. Skinner's best-selling book, Beyond Freedom and Dignity, he argued that freedom and dignity are illusions that hinder the science of behavior modification, which he claimed could create a better organized and happier society. During the height of Skinner's fame in the 1970s, it was obvious to anti-authoritarians such as Noam Chomsky and Lewis Mumford that Skinner's worldview, a society ruled by benevolent power mongers, was antithetical to democracy. In Skinner's views, that we don't need to take history seriously. All we have to do is just accept our conditioning. Well, if you've taken introductory psychology, you probably have heard of Ivan Pavlov's classic conditioning, or what Skinner calls operant conditioning. An example of Pavlov's classical conditioning: a dog hears a bell at the same time he receives food. Then the bell is sounded without the food, and yet the dog elicits a salivation. Pair a scantily clad attractive woman with a beer commercial and condition men to sexually salivate at the sight of beer and buy it. The advertising industry has been utilizing classical conditioning for quite some time. Skinner's operant conditioning, rewards like money, are positive reinforcements. The removal of rewards are negative reinforcements, and punishments like electroshock are labeled, in fact, as punishments. Operant conditioning pervades the classroom and the workplace and mental health treatment. Behaviorism and consumerism, two ideologies which achieved tremendous power in the 20th century, are cut from the same cloth. The shopper, the student, the worker, the voter, all are seen as by consumerism and behaviorism as the same, passive, conditional objects. The corporatocracy is an authoritarian system requiring unquestioning obedience to authority. Those who rise to power in the corporatocracy are ones who need to control everything and everyone in their environment. They're addicted to the power, the adulation that comes by having an influence over other human beings. And so it is natural for such authorities to have become excited by behavior modification. And then he goes into what happens when we as a society don't understand that we are the objects of conditioning, and that every one of those ads on television is conditioning us, and every one of those political ads is conditioning us. And even whole radio stations and television stations and magazines are there to condition us. So when you turn on a Bill O'Reilly, or you turn on, you know, Sean Hannity or Mark Levin, turn on the left, let's say Lawrence O'Donnell or Ed Schultz, you're actually allowing everything that's said and shown and done to reward you for your conditioning. I'm a good person. I'm listening to the people that tell me what to believe in. And therefore, my beliefs in there are the same. So they're good people, and they're famous, and they're popular. And then be on the other side of the camera. Imagine the power that you feel when you know that your words, your images, the guests you choose, what you show in the way of B-roll, all is going to impact another person. We should be looking at how we can decondition people so that they can look at something objectively and honestly instead, based upon our own ideologies and the rewards for playing by the rules, like corporate Democrats, the Obamas, the Clintons, the Rachel Maddows. There are enormous rewards if you play along. And then you have legions of people who follow you because you become the person that's out front talking about the things that are important to them. They won't even dare look in another direction. They don't want to be confused. They want to be true believers. And hence, when we see why we elect such bad people, such stupid people, you know, it's because we're merely manifesting our conditioning. So what would you suggest to do to help decondition Americans so they can make better choices in their lives, live longer, healthier lives, be more compassionate, not pollute, not buy things that pollute? Just connect something. Connect the fire in Bangladesh, then connect Sears and other companies that bought the products that were there. They all knew it was being made by slave labor. Then tied into people who don't want to know or couldn't care less about who suffered for them to buy something. They don't want to have that discussion. So everything they do in a day has to be heavily guarded. They have no room for guilt or shame. So there's no humility. There's only the arrogance of certainty. And that's why we end up with such a bad world. I'm Gary Nall. Your turn to share your thoughts. Talk back next. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. I'd like to hear from you now. And let's say hello to Joe from Jersey. Hi, Joe.
Yes, how you doing? I really agree with the points you were talking about, like your progressive thing. I've been thinking about the idea of it would just be called a two-point system, and basically anyone that has a mortgage would be, their mortgage would be lowered by 2 points. And if you could just get at least just one bank, one major bank, to do this two-point system, I think they would all kind of fall in line. And either you could just have our local banks do it, or you could, just have a bigger bank. But the other thing, like in New Jersey and Trenton, I was wondering, in Trenton and Camden, I just was wondering to get your opinion about industries that could come back to the United States and maybe have employee-owned industries, like, say, organic textiles or, greenhouses.
Okay, let me address this, Joe. You've made many valid points. And first of all, thank you for calling and sharing that. A good idea. But if you give 2 points off, the banks are still right now, based upon double-click mortgage on adjustables, or up where that's at anywhere from 6 to 8%, you're still in a place where the average person could not afford the interest. Why not go to zero interest? Because the banks are at zero. They've already made their money. So if for 1 year we took away all interest and allowed the interest only to go to 1 point above what the banks get, so they're making 100% profit, like a 2%, then that would make an enormous difference. And instead of asking the banks to do this, why not put your money into a bank that already supports a non-interest principal, such as the Bank of North Dakota or a People's Own Bank? That's how I would do that. And then you'd withdraw your interest. You'd withdraw your principal from all the commercial banks. See, I took my money out of any bank that was exploitive. If you did the same and you put your money into credit unions, or what we should start developing in every state, the most solvent, the most equitable, the most positive banks are ones that are actually state banks, where we, the people, in effect, are the owners of those banks. That's what we should be doing. Now, yesterday afternoon, I filmed for 2.5 hours, in my opinion, the brightest, most insightful economist in the world, Michael Hudson. Professor Hudson and I spent 2 hours in front of a green screen where I was asking him some really hard questions. I was so impressed with what he had to say, I've taken 1 hour of that, and that's my next Monday evening Progressive Commentary Hour, when I ask him about, I believe we were lied to by everyone. I believe that all those too big to fail should have all been taken through bankruptcy and then not allowed them to recapitalize and not allowed any of the TARP money to have gone to them. He agreed. But it's his insights that are important. So what we have to do is we have to stop putting our money, individually, Joe, into any system that itself is corrupt. It's not going to stop being corrupt. We can't reform them. We simply have to create new ones. Now, if we looked at industries, one of the reasons that we're not going to see any major industries come back to the United States is simple. We have made our profit our first motivation for owning a company. And if a company can have cheap labor in India or China or Southeast Asia, make a product, and then export it back to the United States, then we can never get the labor cheap enough in the United States. In order for us to bring manufacturing back to the United States, we would have to renege on NAFTA, GATT, the World Trade Organization, and reestablish tariffs. We're not going to do that because we've been given the lie that all this free trade is in our best interest. It is not. And in all other countries, that's how they became strong, by having tariffs and protecting their own. But we chose not to protect after 1965. We chose not to protect our steel workers or our textile workers, or that you mentioned, or our garment workers. How can a woman compete in Bangladesh at 14 cents an hour with one making $30 an hour in the garment industry downtown, when you realize the major stores want the profit and they're going to buy the one that gives them the greatest margin of profit, which is going to be from Bangladesh? Where we can compete is if we start creating businesses, food businesses. That would be the first, I would suggest, because everybody's got to eat. And those, you don't need major corporations and major funding to get up and running. You just need food handler's license, proper safety standards for your plant or wherever you're making something. That's easy enough to do. And your liability insurance, and you can start marketing. Secondly, start looking at going into areas. I tried with Candom, but without success. I repeatedly tried with Candom. But what you need is, you need some place that's not as gone as them, where they will donate, the city will donate a block, an entire block, where you then get a core of individuals from the inner city to go in and degotoize it. You'll get volunteers to help deconstruct the places and rebuild, and in the process of rebuilding, build an integrated green community, solar heating, proper insulation, where you have in one whole block, you can have tutoring, counseling, personal counseling, a child care center, so mothers that have to go work won't end up spending half of what they earn each day on just the child care center, rehab, skills, arts, culture, all the things that people need. So if you start from the get-go and say, what do we need? Well, you know, we don't have any real organic produce. We have to go, you know, if you're in Canada, you have to go to Philadelphia. Okay, so let's make organic gardens. We can do that. We can do it hydroponically. So you recreate what is needed in the community, and you get the people who are living in the community to be an active part of it, so there's not gentrification. Because the moment someone can exploit cleaning up a community, all the people who originally lived there are going to be pushed out again. You're going to gentrify it again. So you don't have a person able to buy something, rather it's done as a pure cooperative. So everyone donates, and therefore you are able to help rejuvenate. You do it in one block, it works, and now you do it in the block across the street. Then you do it in another block. And in time, you have all these people working, living, and happy to be there. That's how you go about that. So those are good ideas from you, Joe. Thank you very much. Leah, you're on the line. Your turn.
Hi, Gary. I just wanted to say that I love all of your suggestions. I love them, and I think they would be fantastic. There's only one thing that that I feel like it failed to mention that is a missing component in all of this, is that our Federal Reserve is not government-owned. It's a private corporation that makes money out of thin air and loans it to the government with interest. And that is why we are facing this insane debt that we have. If we took the Federal Reserve back into the government's hands like it was prior to 1913, before Woodrow Wilson sold us out, then we wouldn't have these problems. We could do all of these suggestions.
Leah, did you listen to the hour special I did on the Federal Reserve on the Progressive Commentary Hour?
No, I didn't.
Okay, do this. Go to the archives, look under Progressive Commentary Hour, look under the Federal Reserve. A whole program was done just on this topic where I've suggested at least 100 times that we should not have a Federal Reserve. We don't need one. We allow the Treasury to print money at zero interest. That would save us $540 billion this year. The Federal Reserve gave 22,000 secret transactions totaling $16.1 trillion that were not even included in any of the quantitative easing or the TARP program, 1, 2, and 3, and went to 20 different major corporations, including Bank America, $2.2 billion, a trillion, etc. And that's why we keep having a takeover of all major businesses into monopolies and trusts, because, as you are correct to state, even though it is not a federal agency, It is a charter agency, and therefore take away its charter, and it cannot appoint itself, though it has. Wall Street has appointed everyone to have been the Treasury Secretary. Paulson was an appointment of Goldman Sachs. Timothy Geithner, another Goldman Sachs and Treasury. And if you ask why in the world do we allow this, it's because the average person is unaware of one of the most vindictive and corrupt agencies, as private groups in the world, and that is the Federal Reserve. I completely agree with you, but I did a whole program on it. Let's say hello to Olu from Brooklyn. Hi, Olu.
Hey, how's it doing, Gary? How you doing?
Good.
Excellent. So, you know, you spoke about people needing to leave coastal cities because of climate change. I just wanted you to expound on that, and specifically, when do you think coastal cities in the U.S. will be, you know, basically people will not be able to live there? It's going to be inhospitable.
Okay. Well, I've got 62,000 destroyed homes in New Jersey and New York that it's now. It just happened. You're aware of that, right? You're aware that those homes were destroyed and should not be rebuilt. The people should be assisted in relocating, but anyone building on the ocean at this moment, anywhere on the East Coast, where you are within 5 foot of sea level, the surges are going to be so great that this will be the small storm, Sandy, that hit us, instead of the second worst storm in American history. We are going to see all of the 65 million people living close to the ocean, adversely affected by surges, hurricanes, wind damage, and all that's happening now. That's not the future. And imagine if we had a Category 3 instead of Category 1. You would have had 5 million homes adversely affected. You'd still have power outages, and the subways would be completely inundated. This was only a Category 1 and did this. So that's why I'm saying we don't have future time. It's like solar storms. We don't have unlimited time to get out of harm's way with a solar storm. All right, it's now. And I have an article free up on our website that shows you the safest, bestest, greenest places in America, the best, greenest places in America to live. So we do have options. We have solutions. Let's say hello to Shanice from Vermont. Hi, Shanice.
Now, you said that you were willing to go into a place like Camden and improve it with your plant, with the ideas that you have. What about a rural town? Because they also need help in making their environment much healthier, much more dynamic.
It requires three things. Good question. Thank you for that. First, I'm doing that as we speak. I'm going to be having a meeting probably in about 5 weeks from now when I'm going to invite people to be a part of a homesteading project. It took me 5 years to find the right state, the right location, the right water, the right reservoir, the right soil, the right everything. That's all done. And also having a veterans village there and a lot of other villages. The principles by which I'm doing this would apply to any other place in the United States. We first have to make rural America an exciting place to live, meaning be able to take it from being what you see when you drive upstate, old, ratty, dirty, depressing, broken-down hamlets, to something that's vibrant. And how does that happen? By bringing vibrant people with vibrant ideas in. But you have to have the zoning to do that. Your biggest limitation in America today in where to live is zoning. There are places I won't live. California won't live. Beautiful places there, wonderful people. It's impossible for most people to realize how bad it is and how unsustainable. New York is the worst state in the United States for if you own a business. The worst. It is absolutely corrupt at every level, city, federal, local, and no matter where you go, it's like dealing with Tony Soprano constantly. Some stupid bureaucrat wants to tell you what to do and gives you nothing in return. It's all one-sided. And as a result, over 1 million people have left California, over 1 million people have left New York. Where are they going? To rural America. Well, why aren't they going to old towns in Tennessee, Kentucky, Iowa, Nebraska? Because most of those old towns are simply broken down towns, and they've got strict limitations. You want to go in and help them rehab something? Well, you got to get this variance and that zoning. You got to have 16 meetings. Forget that. That's the past. That is not the future. Go to a place that has no zoning and start by helping what's there rehab or build what is not into a small community. I believe that we're going to have 10 to 15 million Americans in the next 3 to 5 years moving back to the country, but they're not stupid, and they're not going to move into a rust belt and just look at these massive architectures from a bygone era that no one wants to deal with. You have to have progressive people who are come up with ideas, and that means you have to have zero, no zoning. If you've got zoning, I've turned down places for free because of zoning. No zoning, then it's up. Then you got to have the right environment, and then you got to look at crime rates, and you got to look at the quality of your water and your soil and your land and the weather. Are you in a bad weather place, good weather place? Doesn't do a whole lot of good to build a beautiful place in the mountains, and suddenly you have the worst storm in history, the worst summer, and that floods all your roads and your land and your farm and your buildings, or the worst storm and knocks out electricity, and now you're stuck for months. The future is not how tough we are to weather it out. The future is how smart we are to be where it's most compatible, the weather is most compatible with our sustainable future needs. So we have to change the mindset, and that excludes a lot of places that are good part of the year, but not good the rest of the year. But then you look at all the crafts, and you look at what would make an ideal community. Well, what if everybody did something, contributed something? Beehives, and showing how to weave, and someone else pottery, and glass blowing, and making apple cider. You could have a whole community, a whole rural environment, that was completely self-sustaining, off the grid, and yet still capable of functioning, using the internet in the right way, the populist way. And that's what I'm talking about. And that's not ecological villages. There are a lot of ecological villages out there. And quite frankly, I've been to most of them. And the idea that we're all living on the same block, and our houses are solar powered. But that doesn't mean anything. What if I don't like the person I'm living next to? What if we're all different and all different values? Then the fact that we're all living together with something we share in common on an environmental level doesn't make it good enough. There has to be a whole lot more going on there. We have to be able to understand what we need individually, so we still have to have our space. We don't want to be a part of cult. We don't want to be a part of, you know, there's religious communities all over the United States. You go out to Iowa and Utah, and you've got all these religious communities, Mormon communities. It's fine for them. You go upstate, you got all the Orthodox Jewish communities. It's fine for them, but it's not fine for me. I don't want to live where there's dominant people. I don't want to live where everything is by committee. I believe that those days, the 1970s, are over, and none of those experiments ultimately worked. None of them. I believe we have to look at people being far more related to what they actually need in life and being around people that they have taken the time and measure to say, are we compatible? Are we in synchronicity? So you don't lose who you are and able to enjoy the company and the social environment of other people, and then contribute something that everyone can benefit from. That's the rural community I'm talking about. That does not exist right now. That will, doesn't. Thank you. We're out of time. Let's go over and say hello to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann. We're right at the end of the show, so I'm going to ask you for one quick one.
I got a quick one from Barbara. She says, my father stopped competing in track and field 5 years ago. You'd remember him because you raced against him many times, especially in the 80s and 90s. He's since gained weight. His resting pulse used to be 60 to 65. Now it's 75 to 80, and he's aging rapidly. I'm trying to get him motivated again, and all he does is talk about what he used to be like and how healthy he used to be. And her question is, Gary, how do you motivate someone?
You don't. You don't. I think that's the wrong way that we should approach it. I've never been able to motivate people. I wish I could take credit for it and say, yeah, you know, all those tens of thousands of people I've counseled, I've motivated them. I haven't. All we can do is be there to facilitate the changes that a person has finally come to grips with or willing to make. Whatever their motivation, whether it's a crisis, a heart attack, stroke, when a person decides today is the day that I'm going to begin the changes that are important to me in my life, and close the past chapter, learn its lessons, and we're there to listen and bear witness to people who have a lesson to learn. A lot of people spend most of their life living a passive, too small a life as victims, and most of their energy is put into justifying why their outburst, their anger, their bias, their prejudice, their extremely negative views should be okay. And therefore, they're going to be around those people. And then when you become a liberated person, you don't want to be around any negative people anymore. You don't want to tolerate that. You're not going to listen to crap that people say on the telephone because that's polluting you. That's defiling who you are today. Now, but you have to learn that lesson. Well, okay, but maybe that's who you were yesterday. All right. Well, what is the lesson? The lesson is I have a right to change who I am today, even if I'd mastered a persona and a belief and a value up to today. It is my right to begin my life all over again. And if you can get a person who's willing to begin their life over again, and you're there to facilitate the changes they need, to help them, to guide them, then you can make a difference in someone's life. But you can't force someone to change. You can't push open the barriers of their fear, insecurity, to get them to do the right thing. No matter how many times I've told people I know not to smoke, they smoke. No matter how many times I've told people about the sugar, they eat it. No matter how many times I've told people you're living in the wrong place, they don't move. And then there's a disaster. You know such a person yourself, don't you? Wasn't there a nurse practitioner that after hearing my show and saying, you know, hear me say, don't move in on the water, she moved on the water recently and then lost everything in this Sandy storm?
Yes. Yes, she called me the other day and she said, Gary was right. Why didn't I listen to him? I wish I could answer that.
Because she wasn't ready to listen. You have to be ready in order to hear the messages that help us take the steps. And suddenly you're going to hear everything for the first time, even though you've heard it a million times. It's only having the authentic self hear the true message that we move forward. Thank you, Luann.
Okay.
Utrece Lead, up next. Hi, Utrece.
Hi, Gary. How are you doing?
Doing great. What's on today?
Today we take a look at the often untold story of the passage of the 13th Amendment.
Great. Okay, well, that's going to be interesting.
It's kind of a it places the movie Lincoln, since it's very, very popular. It's in the context of that movie too.
We look forward to hearing about the 13th Amendment coming up right now on the Utrice Lead Show.
Come and meet those dancing feet.